Welcome into Flight Plan. Tim McMaster here along with Zach Rosenblatt. 1 week left in this brutal Jets season. They will try to play spoiler against the Dolphins on Sunday in front of what will likely be a small, angry crowd at MetLife Stadium. The coaching search, though, well underway for the Jets, as is the GM search. They interviewed Ron Rivera this week. We're going to focus this episode, though, on a different candidate, Mike Vrabel. Zach has a huge in-depth researched piece out on The Athletic today that everybody that's a Jets fan or a Mike Vrabel fan or a Patriot, like whatever, any connection to this guy or hope of connection to this guy, you should check out. You got in and talked to everybody, Zach, really to focus on what's become a gap year for Mike Vrabel, right? He was fired unexpectedly by the Titans a year ago. He didn't get a job quickly in that cycle. So he's had this year that he spent with the Cleveland Browns. And that's where I want to start, is just how this story came about, because obviously we've known for a long time that this is a guy the Jets would likely focus in on. And I think if you polled like 100 Jets fans, 97 of them would say this is the guy they want to hire, right? Like he's the guy.
Pretty universal.
You see stories like this come out where it's focused on a specific player or coach or whatever. And usually you hear from friends and family and players and teammates and coworkers, but it's rare that you actually get the guy. You got the guy in this story and a ton of information from Vrabel himself from your conversations. But you also got Kevin Stefanski, head coach of the Browns, Andrew Berry, GM of the Browns, where he's been working, former players with the Titans, all that stuff. So let's start with the background. Like, how did it come about that you, a Jets beat writer, were able to kind of dig in and uncover all this information on Vrabel?
Yeah, you know, this is kind of the kind of story I've always wanted to write. Like, it's the sort of Sports Illustrated model where you spend a lot of time with somebody, you set the scene, you say where they are. And I've always just kind of envisioned myself as a writer that did those kind of stories. And yeah, I cover the Jets, but you know, I have aspirations to be more than just a Jets beat writer one day. And so I have a lot of ideas. And you know, when Mike Vrabel didn't get a head coaching job, like all I could think about was, like, I'm fascinated to see what this year is going to be like. And I thought of that before the Browns hired him, but even after that, like being a consultant, like what does that entail? And so, you know, I was able to get connected to him. I reached out, I pitched the story idea to him, and how he did it was, you know, I basically flew to Nashville. We met up and he kind of sized me up. It was more like, I mean, it was kind of like an introductory thing for both of us because I didn't know him. He didn't know me. We had some mutual people that we were cool with, but we didn't know each other. So, you know, I get to this bar in Nashville that he loves. His golf buddies are there with him. It's part of the story. Actually our first meeting. And you know,
so you had to win over the golf buddies is basically what you're saying.
Yeah. And his golf buddies were characters. And I had some funny stories I heard about them that I wasn't able to fit in the story, but, yeah, you know, one of the main reasons, just to pull back for like a second, like one of the main reasons I want to do this about him was, not only is he like the top coaching candidate, but I feel like there is a perception about him, you know, based on his press conferences, he's this linebacker with all the rumors about him being hard to work with. And what I always try to do is try to paint a picture of like who somebody is, like despite like what the headlines say. Like that was the root of my Aaron Rodgers and Chico story. I wanted to, you know, get in the mix and talk and find out about somebody that I didn't know anything about. And I've always done stuff like that. And I know I've become known on this beat now for like those long pieces I do with Diana, but this is kind of the root of how I've been a writer since I got into this business. It's the kind of stories I wanted to do, is show people a side of somebody that you haven't seen before. And so that was my idea. I didn't know going in, like, if Mike will be open to it or if the perceptions of him are real and or whatever. But anyway, so I get to this bar, the corner pub, the spot in Nashville. It's right near this amazing music venue called Bluebird Cafe, which is pretty cool. So I've been there before. And the first like 30 minutes we're sitting there, he's kind of grilling me, but like not in I'm grilling you kind of way, but more like getting to know me. He's asking me where I'm from, about my fiance, how I met her, who my mentor was coming up in the business, all this stuff.
Did you mention where your wedding is going to be? That might have helped.
I did. Yeah, it came up. Yeah, yeah. I did. They were all very excited about that. But yeah, so, you know, a lot of the beginning was introductory, us getting to know each other a little bit. You know, after a while, him and his buddies are just like telling stories about all the debauchery and fun they've gotten into with each other on the golf course. And, you know, Mike's brought them along these are guys that he met when he pretty much first got to Tennessee at this bar. They became his golf buddies and they hang out all the time. He's flying back to Nashville during this season because of the way his job with the Browns worked. But yeah, so then, you know, once we get past that initial point and I tell him like my plan and how I want to attack it, like, look, I'd love to spend as much time with you as you'll allow me this season. Like, I have some ideas for like this, this, and this. Like, when you're in Cleveland, I meet you there. When you're in Nashville, I come back here. The Jet season, maybe I honestly would have seen him more times if not for the Jet season going the way it did, because there was so much going on. But yeah, so over time, you know, how we would do it is I'd either fly out to him, we'd spend a night either, you know, getting a meal and kind of just talking, not just like a sit down interview, just talking. And we'd, you know, I'd check in how he was doing. And then the next day we'd get on the phone and we'd talk for however long. I'd ask him a bunch of questions, get more context. We'd reflect a little on the Titans. We'd talk about where he was with the Browns. We'd look ahead. Probably did that like five times, something like that. We're constantly keeping in touch. I was calling him to check in on facts and stuff like that. And just over time, it just developed. And over time, I reached out to, you know, Ben Jones, guys who played for him with the Titans. A lot of guys, like, I got so much stuff. I think I talked to 20 people for the story. I wasn't able to fit all of it in because the story ultimately had to be, like, the focus was more on this season and, like, looking ahead than anything. I'm going to come back with another story about him, I think, whenever he gets hired, just about his Titans tenure, specific stories, the kind of coach he was, all that stuff. But yeah, you know, that's kind of how it all played out. And, you know, I'm really thankful that, number one, he was willing to do this. Like, Mike Vrabel is not a guy that is generally very open. Like, people don't really, there hasn't been many stories written. And I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. Like, he's just not somebody who generally has like done these sorts of things. And, you know, he has the reputation with the media, you know, being short at press conferences and all that stuff. But, you know, he was very open to all of it. And he was honest throughout the, I asked him a question, he answered it. There's some stuff he don't want to talk about, understandably, like specifics about like teams he might go to and things like that. But yeah, I mean, it was a pretty amazing experience for me, like one of the most rewarding of my career, frankly. And yeah, it's been a really cool, interesting journey, because as a lot of people have reacted to me that out in my life, like they're like blown away that I like did this while covering the Jets. And I can tell you it was not easy. Especially from working on that piece with Diana and Mike Silver to now, like that story was a grind to get through all the editors, all the editing process was like really intensive. And then I had to turn back around in the middle of the holiday and like redirect my brain to this story I've been working on for months. And I felt very stressed and anxious about doing this right, about telling a story the right way and not messing up all the stuff that I got. And I've never felt more pressure, but I've also never woken up like feeling more satisfied with something that I published. So it's a really cool feeling.
Have you heard from him?
Yeah, briefly. I mean, he's busy today interviewing with the Jets. But he was very happy and thankful about the story. At least that's what he told me. I don't know if he's lying, but I think he loved it. And the people close to him seemed to like it. It's been cool seeing the reaction to it, because, you know, this is the kind of story that it's going to be hard for me to even like get this kind of access to somebody again, but it's the kind of thing I hope to do in the future for sure.
Well, you know, on the other hand, though, doing this story maybe helps you get access down the road, because you have kind of like a proof of concept.
Yeah, there's an example. Proof of concept now. Yeah.
We get a lot to get into. We also have some actual sound bites from Vrabel to
get to. That'd be cool to show you guys some clips of the interview.
Stuff that's not in the story too, which is cool. Before we get into that, because most of that's based on like coaching and the serious stuff, some of the stuff that stood out to me mostly was the Cleveland stuff and the joy this guy has just being around football, right? Like,
yeah.
So he's consulting with the Browns, started off as working with the tight ends, that grew into kind of more offense as a whole. But this guy's like grabbing a jersey and working with the scout team as a player on the scout team, right? Like, he's actually basically suiting up at times, and he's running sprints against the quarterbacks, and like, it came through. It was really cool to me to hear just like how much this guy just loves being a part of football. And you quickly realize when you're reading it, like, there's no way this guy was just going to take a year off.
Yeah. That, you know, like I said, so a part of my idea was to like see him, how his mind was as the season progressed, like where his head was at. And if you start at the very beginning, like the first time we spoke, when I was in Nashville, The first question I asked was like, did you consider taking a year off? And he's like, honestly, no. Like, you know, I had some offers to like work in media and he's not really ready for that. I think Luke Fickell, who is his college roommate, I actually talked to him. I wasn't able to fit any of that in the story. That'll be in a future one. He was going to bring him maybe on as a consultant in Wisconsin, but he wanted to stay around the NFL. So, but yeah, you know, those, he was kind of famous for that in Tennessee, but like the getting into it with the players, like lining up as a defensive end and getting, you know, getting knocked in the face. Like you know, Terrell Williams, who works for the Lions now, was telling me about how, because Terrell Williams is the defensive line coach for the Titans, and Vrabel would come and act as like an offensive lineman, really like get into it with them. And so Terrell Williams told his guys to like really go hard at Mike and make him so he doesn't come back and bother us anymore. And to the point where they made his nose bloodied and it still wasn't stopping him. Yeah. But you know, the Browns guys, they were like just laughing, telling me stories about him being out on the field and lining up as a linebacker or defensive end. And, you know, you hear all these stories, but I went out to practice one day and they happened to be indoors, which was, I think was good because it gave me a better view of everything. Cause when you're indoors, it's a little more contained. And you're just seeing him on the field. Like, and I had this line in the story, like if a consultant is supposed to stand on the side and observe, like Mike Vrabel did not get that memo. I think a lot of times consultants are kind of there just like to help the head coach. I'm watching him in this practice field very closely. He's starting at the beginning on one end and he's stopping at like almost every single guy. And he has like a handshake with them or he's laughing or he's, you know, getting in with a practice squad player. He's showing him like a 3-point stance and then he's making all the way to the other side. He puts on his penny and then he starts getting into the mix for some walkthrough stuff with the offensive line. Like that's a guy that like is meant to be around football. And Kevin Stefanski had, I think, one of my favorite quotes in this, and it's in the story where he said, one day I'm just like looking over at him, like, what the fuck else would this guy be doing if he wasn't coaching football? And I said that to Mike and he's like, well, I've only ever had three jobs in my life. I caddied when I was in high school. I played football and I coach. I don't know what else I'd be doing. So like, you know, he could have taken a year off, sat on the beach. The Titans are still paying him right now. He could have done all that, but you know, he took this opportunity. And in the beginning, you know, the idea was he would be there a few days a week, maybe for the home games. And then during road games, he would go somewhere else and watch. And it started out that way. And, you know, that allowed him to go home to Nashville. He has a home there, allowed him to go to his house in Park City. There was a night he spent in New York meeting up with some NFL people, which is in the story too, where I saw a drunk Jets fan. But yeah, you know, he had an idea of what it might look like. And then he wound up being around the team more because there's some guys on the team who are like, can you be around us more? Because you're really helpful. So it was a mutually beneficial relationship. Andrew Berry talked about that a lot in the story. Like they saw it as somebody who could help their operation. He saw it as an opportunity to learn from an organization that uses analytics in a way that he'd never used before.
And a team that ended up having a tough season, obviously, and it seems like he kind of helped them through that as well. So you mentioned Berry, and this wouldn't be something that would come out when you're consulting with a team, but some of the reputation around Mike Vrabel is that he has a hard time getting along with GMs and front office and that stuff, which is one thing he talked about. So I want to play this soundbite you have from him, and then we can react afterwards. But here we go.
I feel like I can work with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like winning is the ultimate goal. And I have to be willing to, just like with our teams, I got to be willing to adjust and adapt mm-hmm. to things that are going on. But there's also things that I believe strongly in. And I believe that I can respectfully disagree.
Yeah.
And have a conversation and move on and get past it. Like,
yeah.
I'm also not afraid to share my opinion mm-hmm. and what I believe and my convictions about certain things that relates to helping a football team win, building a team, helping players, helping scouts. I mean, I love when the coaches and scouts get together.
Yeah.
Post-draft and act as the head coach and general manager, try to incorporate that system into Tennessee because it was something that I embraced and loved about what we did in Houston
mm-hmm.
and try to foster those. And again, it's it's a unique relationship, and one that, you know, has to remain respectful at all times. I don't think that it always was. Are we going to disagree? Yeah, I hope that we do.
Yeah, that's healthy. Yeah.
So that we can grow. And, but then, you know, I mean, ultimately somebody's got to be in charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to make a decision. We got to make a good one, and we have to make it in the best interest of the team. And sometimes you have to be decisive. And so somebody got to make a decision.
So maybe part of the problem and the reputation comes from the fact that he just said it at the end there. You hope to disagree, right? Like in a successful developing in any business, right? Whether it's like 100%. What we do at the Athletic, you know, you and me, Zach, or there anywhere, disagreements lead to conversations that make things better. It's not necessarily something everyone believes in, though.
Yeah, I mean, some people don't like hearing the truth, or some people don't like debate, or some people don't like, you know, they don't like being brutal told when they're doing something wrong. Like there's a part of society that doesn't like being confronted, and I don't even blame them necessarily. But yeah, you know, Mike Vrabel's goal is to win. And so he's going to say and do what he thinks he has to do to win. And, you know, did he butt head sometimes with some people in Tennessee? Sure. But I don't think it was ever out of disrespect. It was all just him stating how he felt about certain things and being honest with his opinions. And if you can't be honest, if you're a coach of a team, and you can't like speak openly and honestly with the GM or the owner or your coaches, then you're not really going to be productive, because then you're not like attacking your problems that you have head on. You're not addressing the things you do well. And so I think there is something to be said for all of that. And I mean, look, you know, obviously that's something he's had to answer in interviews he's had in the past. He's had to talk about it. He's had to explain it. I think he did a pretty good job there. I don't have a concern about that necessarily. Like, maybe, you know, are there some GMs that maybe he wouldn't want to work with? I imagine John Robinson, who interviewed for the Jets job, like maybe they probably wouldn't reunite, but I think he knows what he's doing. He's very smart football mind. He's a great scouting mind. I generally speaking, like a coach getting like full personnel control, like it historically doesn't always work out, but you know, we're going to get into this when we get into the Jets part of this convo, but a team like the Jets, like, what do you have to lose? I would offer him full control. And I'm not even saying he's looking for that, by the way. That's just like my opinion. I think they should, because I think he's the perfect fit. But anyway, we'll get into that. But you know, yeah, that's a big topic of convo, and I'm happy he was willing to address it with me. And when I asked Andrew Berry about that, Andrew Berry cut me off before I finished the question because he knew it was coming. And he's like, that has basically not been my experience. Like he's been very collaborative. He brings such energy that somebody called, I forget if it was Stefanski or somebody, called him an energy multiplier in the building. He just brings the energy. He holds people accountable. And that's all what a lot of these bad teams need, but especially the one that I cover.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting, like you said, give full control. If that's something a team's going to do, like if it's the Jets and they decide like, yeah, let's just like roll out the red carpet and give them everything. You almost have to hire him before you hire the GM at that point, right? Because you can't hire a GM and then say, oh, by the way, we're hiring Vrabel now, and he's got final call on player personnel.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for sure. I think the Jets went into this with the plan of GM first, but I think they're open to not doing that. Like, if somebody like Mike Vrabel or, I don't know, one of the other top candidates, maybe like a Pete Carroll or whatever it is, like Ben Johnson, I don't think they would give that to Ben Johnson, but... I think they're open to it for the right coaching candidate, because I think ultimately for your culture, the coach is more important. For roster building, the GM is more important. But I think you can start with the coach if it's the right coach. You know, if you're hiring a coach that's never been a head coach before, do you want him picking the GM or being involved in that process? I don't know necessarily. But if you have someone like Vrabel who has connection in this league, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants. You know what you're going to get out of a Mike Vrabel coach team. Like I think there is some value to bringing in a guy like that first, if you can. I want to say, like, number one, I think it's, you shouldn't read too much into them, the Jets being the first team, but it is notable that he is interviewing with them, because I don't think he's going to interview with every opening. I think he is going to be relatively selective. I think he has some certain things, and we're going to get into this because you have another clip of like the things he's looking for and all that stuff. And you could argue whether the Jets fall under those categories, but and I can get into where I think he'll end up and all that stuff after we get through this part of the combo. But yeah, I don't know. I just, he knows what he wants, and it is a positive sign that the Jets are his first interview, that he's at the facility, that he's meeting with the team. I think there is some appealing parts to this job. There's some parts that are not so appealing too. So he knows all of this. He knows all the information. He's going to get his own information. He's not going to base any of his decisions on, you know, certain articles that have been published. I think he's read them, but I think he's going to find out himself what he feels about an organization and what their path forward is and all that stuff. And the Jets are in the mix because they got an interview with him. And I think they are a candidate to hire him, is what I would say.
Which is, you want to be in the conversation. All right. One other thing that has swirled around that you asked him about is like other people having opinions on what Mike Vrabel's looking for, right? Like, don't ask him, but like, this is what we think Mike Vrabel's looking for. So you asked him about how he deals with that.
If there's a lot to that, you just have to ignore the noise. And,
I
understand that everybody has a job and, they think they know. I always joke, if you throw enough shit on the wall, sooner or later you're going to get some of it to stick. So, you just try to stay focused and grounded and wait for the opportunity to then find out what each situation looks like, what each team's looking for. If that aligns with, the things that I'm hoping for, then we can have conversations.
So basically, he didn't really say, we'll get into, I guess, what he said he is actually looking for. But I thought that quote about like, if you throw enough shit at the wall, something will stick. That's always fun. And then he had another quote that I didn't have in there because it is in the story where he said, I can't remember. Maybe you have it exactly. Like, shouldn't care what other people think about.
I can't control what other people think about me is what he said. Yeah.
There you go.
I wanted to ask him that because, especially as I'm working on the story, I know that he keeps his circle very, very small, and information generally does not get out of his circle. And so any report that suggested things that he wanted was purely, I'm not saying those reports were false so much as those reports are not coming from Mike. Maybe there are people who are speculating about Mike or people that maybe think they know Mike, but like anything about, oh, he's only going to take the, like Colin Cowherd went on TV and was like, I talked to Mike and he told me that he'd be interested in the Jets depending on the GM. That conversation never happened. I promise you, Colin Cowherd about that. And that's just the first example that comes to my mind, but there's been other reports too. And like being in it, like the way I was, that's when I was like, okay, like, I don't think Mike's telling all these people this stuff. Now the reports where people are, reading the tea leaves and being like, people around the league think the Raiders are going to be a factor because of Tom Brady. Yeah, well, I think that's a fair assumption. It doesn't mean that it came from him. The Patriots, all the buzz around them. Yeah, that's logical and probable if Jared Mayo gets fired that he'd be the next coach. But again, Mike Vrabel did not tell that to people. So it's either coming from the teams or it's coming from people around the league speculating. But at the end of the day, Mike Vrabel is not leaking out what he wants to do because he's keeping it to himself for the most part. Like, I think he has an idea of the staff he's going to have. I'm sure he's talked to some people about that kind of thing, but he's going into this process with an open mind and he wants the best situation, the best possible place where he could win, if not right away, then pretty soon. And the things he's looking for is our next clip that you're going to play. I know.
Yeah. So let's get right to that. This is the question was what are you looking for in the next job?
You talk about how for your game plan, you have three things you want to accomplish. I guess, are there three things when you look at an organization that you think that you need to win in?
You have to be able to have, there's got to be a clear communication with the people in charge, with the ownership so that they know exactly, we understand as coaches what the expectations are. We can explain to them what the what's reasonable, what we can do, what we probably can do, and what we're going to try to do or not try. And as long as there's communication, and I think that that's going to be a great place to start. Want to have a structure or place that people see the game the same way I do from a, X's and O's standpoint, from a personnel standpoint, from a team building, hopefully have that alignment, which is critical. You know, I'd like to be able to say that there's a quarterback that you feel like you can win with, or that there's a path to finding one that you can win with.
And for those first two things about the communication, all that stuff, how do you go about finding out if the organization like has what you're looking for with that? Like, is that something
out? We'll have conversations.
Yeah.
You get a pretty good feel on.
Yeah.
Who they like you to, you know, talk to and report to and be with, and the responsibilities that, you know, I'll run a football team. As it relates to training and support staff and all those things, again, are critical.
So it comes down to basically to simplify that whole thing: ownership, collaboration, quarterback. And you hinted at this earlier, but do the Jets have any of those things right now? Right. Is like,
yeah,
that's the hardest part. I think when you think about, can the Jets land this guy, is if those are the three things he's looking for. Obviously collaboration is something that you can create.
Yeah.
But you know, the Jets ownership is known for the opposite of what he's looking for, I think. And as of right now he says a path to a quarterback.
Yeah.
And the Jets will have a fairly high draft pick, but is this the draft class where you need to be draft? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's questions here.
Yeah. You know, you're right about the collaboration thing. That's something you definitely, I think that comes more with the GM than like owner, coach, probably. But yeah, you know, ultimately the Jets are going to have to answer these questions in this process, whether it's Vrabel, whether it's the GMs, like they have to answer the questions about the perception of Woody Johnson, all the stuff we had in our article, all the stuff that was out there long before we wrote that about him interfering and all that stuff. And I get the sense that as of now, he's saying the right things in these interviews. He's saying the right things to the coaches and the GMs. And I think there's some hope inside that he's learned something, whether it's from the article or the way things transpired this year. And so he's trying to hire the right people. The fact that Mike Greenberg and Rick Spielman are leading the charge is a good thing. They've been in these interviews. They will be continuing to be in these interviews along with people like Jaime and probably Christopher Johnson, if I had to guess. And I think there's a couple others, but those are the three things he wants. And as for the quarterback or the path to it. Yeah. I think that's why, look, I'm going to say this, and Mike has not said any of this to me. This isn't, I would say, like an informed opinion based on the information and the things he said about like what he wants and stuff, and just knowing his background. Like, if the Patriots job opens, I'd be surprised if he was not the Patriots coach, because not only does he have that background, he's in the Ring of Honor, he has a great relationship with Robert Kraft, you know, he has some legacy there, they love him. It's been a disaster with Mayo, but they also have Drake May, the best quarterback option out of all the openings or potential openings, I think I would argue. And they might have the number one or number two overall pick. So you can either turn that around for a bunch of assets, or you can go and get a stud like a Travis Hunter or one of the offensive linemen or something like that, or a defensive end. So there's a lot of appeal there. They have a lot of cap space. So considering all the factors, like the Patriots are the job to beat. If the Patriots job doesn't open, I do think the Jets have a chance. Their best chance is they kind of have to give him the world, is my guess. Again, not coming from him. This is me just like evaluating the situation. If the Jets give him a lot of money and a lot of control, I think they have a better shot, because I think they weirdly have an advantage in a way, because you look at all these openings, and as of right now, either the openings that are there or the openings that will be there, the Jets are the only one that 100% has a GM opening too. So he's coming into a situation where he can look at it like, okay, I'm not being assigned to a GM I don't have a relationship with. He's coming into a situation where he either could help pick the GM or whatever, or he helps run the show. Whereas, you know, the Saints, Mickey Loomis is probably coming back. The Bears, Ryan Poles is coming back. It seems like Joe Shane is going back to the Giants. The Jaguars, maybe will fire their GM. I don't know how appealing that Jaguars job is. The Patriots, as of now, it seems like, are keeping their GM or GM. I don't know if he's officially the GM. And who else you got? I mean, the Cowboys, Jerry Jones is the GM if that opens up. So all these jobs, he'd be inheriting a GM. So that's weirdly an advantage for the Jets, I think, on top of them having a good offensive line, talent on defense, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall. Quarterback situation is one of the least ideal out of all of them. the Jets draft position is going to be important, but even more important would be how he feels about this draft class of rookies, which I don't know how he feels about it. So a lot of factors, a lot of things. I do think the Jets have a shot at him. I just think as of right now, if I'm predicting, assuming Jaron Mayo gets fired, he's going to be the Patriots coach, I think. If he's not, then the Jets have a chance. That's my take on the situation.
And it's possible that the Patriots aren't willing to admit they picked the wrong guy 1 year in to the Jerod Mayo situation, although Vrabel availability may impact that. All right, so the thing with the Jets and the fact that he is meeting with them first, what do you think of speculation that he's using the Jets?
Like for leverage?
Yeah.
I don't think he needs to do that. So I get why people would think that. And maybe it would get in Robert Kraft's ear a little bit that, like, oh, he's talking to an AFC East team. Like, maybe I need to make a decision quickly. But ultimately, he doesn't need to do that. Like, he's going to get whatever job he wants pretty much, I think. And that's open. And, you know, I don't think money is going to be an issue. This guy has made a lot of money in his life and his career, and he's going to get paid a lot on his next coaching contract. And so, like, if he was worried about the idea that he might not get a job, I could see that, but I do not view this as he is using the Jets for leverage. I really don't. And if he was, they maybe would be the only team he interviewed with until the Patriots job opened, and then you could say that, but I think he's going to interview with a couple other teams. Not all of them, like I said earlier, but he's going to take a couple more interviews. He's going to really evaluate this process, and I think the Jets are, you know, a contender at the very least.
That's what they want to be. All right, well, check out the story as well. There's a lot more obviously in it. It's a long story. Zach talked to a lot of people, and you really get a good feeling for Mike Vrabel. And if anything, if you're a Jets fan, it's just going to want you to, it's just going to make you want this guy more, because he comes across in a real positive light in this story for all kinds of things. The way he answers the tough questions, the fun he has, all of it. So he's the guy that's being interviewed now. Obviously, the Jets interviewed Ron Rivera already. They've announced that. How many guys are they going to interview in your mind? Like, are we going double digits here? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think if Vrabel told them he would take the job, they wouldn't need to do a lot of other interviews. I mean, they need to do within the rules. Like, so that might dictate how long the process is, maybe. But if not Vrabel ASAP, I think they'll interview a lot of guys. You know, I think it's hard to get a read on what coaches want this job. You know, if I'm, you know, one name that I was told recently by a leak source, a couple actually, is that Matt Campbell, the Iowa State coach, they had interest in, I believe the Gase job. Yeah. Or maybe it was the Sala one. I honestly can't remember. They had interest in him, but he declined to take an interview. I heard that he'd be willing to take an interview with the Jets. They do have Breece Hall. They have Will McDonald, who he coached at Iowa State. So I think he's an interesting one. In terms of other candidates, you know, Brian Flores is interesting to me. I think they're going to probably, Rex Ryan, they're going to interview. I mean, I'm not interested in that, but they will interview him, it sounds like. And he has to be viewed as a candidate, because as a lot of people have iterated to me, like, even if it's a small shot, like, if he goes into that room, he's going to know what Woody wants to hear. He's never spoken badly about Woody publicly. He knows what Woody likes. He can walk into the room and be like, hey, so who's the last coach who had a winning season here? I'm just curious. Like, he can throw that at him. You throw the culture, all that stuff. I think it would be a disaster personally, but you could see it. Now, I've seen some other names floated out there. A couple that I would bank on the Jets not really having a shot at, or not being interested in the job, or whatever, like whether it's mutual or one side doesn't want it. I don't think Ben Johnson's coming here. I don't think Arthur Smith will come here. I don't think Cliff Kingsbury will come here. Like, those are just a few of the names that I would say are not necessarily either considering the job or contenders for it. But, you know, some of the other obvious names that have been floated, I think Liam Cohen's very interesting, the offensive coordinator for the Bucks. Blanking on some of the other coordinator. Flores, in terms of like culture standards, I'd say
Aaron Glenn, right?
Aaron Glenn, yeah.
You mentioned Ben Johnson. And there's a good chance the Lions go to the Super Bowl, right? So you probably have to wait. That's going to extend this whole process, I would imagine.
It is. Yeah, that's actually an important point. So Vrabel could be hired technically as soon as a team finishes the Rooney Rule requirements, as could anybody that's unemployed right now. If you're on a team that doesn't make the playoffs, you could start interviewing 3 days after the regular season. only virtually, I believe. And then it could be in person starting on January 20th. So a coach, if it's a coach that's on a team currently, he's not getting hired probably until January 20th at the earliest. And then if you're in the playoffs, the rule is if you have a bye, you can interview in the stretch between now and January 20th virtually. If you're a team that's in the wild card, you have to wait until 3 days after the wild card game until January 20th. And then after January 20th, in-person interviews can start for any coach that's not currently in the playoffs. The coaches in the playoffs in person won't start until after their season's over. So that's like a factor for sure. So if you want to say, when will this coaching search get wrapped up? If it's Vrabel, maybe soon. If it's not Vrabel or they're doing the longer process, probably not till closer to the end of January, I would say.
So if the Lions win Monday night, they'll have the bye and yeah. They could interview Aaron Glenn.
And then that, Glenn sooner, yeah.
That'll take care of the Rooney rule also.
Yeah, true. Cause they talked to Ron Rivera already. So yeah.
Oh, that's
I don't know. If, right. Yeah. So, I mean, you need two minority interviews.
Yep.
But yeah. And I'm curious, you know, a name that's been floated around, not specifically to the Jets, is John Gruden. Like he's another, you know, if they're doing their due diligence, why not talk to him? Like I'd like him better than Rex Ryan. Ron Rivera, I might prefer over Gruden. I don't know. Gruden would be an interesting one to cover for me. But yeah, I think the advantage they have in starting the searches early is that they're able to do all these interviews now. They talked to Lewis Riddick for the GM job yesterday, talked to Thomas Dimitroff, Jim Nagy, and John Robinson. And then the coach has been Rivera and Vrabel today. I imagine there'll be some more coming. There'll be some coaches fired on Monday. Like, would they interview Brian Daboll? Would they interview Mike McCarthy? Would they interview Shane Steichen if he's fired? I mean, Jared Mayo, I can't imagine, is getting an interview. But so there's some more candidates that might come available. Yeah, I imagine there's going to be some interesting names that nobody's talking about in there, too. I'm not sure who, but I think they're going to be very wide-ranging with this process, and I think that's the way to do it.
And the other thing we mentioned is like who gets hired first, GM or head coach, and how that plays into it. Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to throw in here? I think we did a good job just kind of diving into this situation right now with one meaningless game. Yeah. I guess it's not meaningless in the sense that we just mentioned draft position and how important that is. Like, if you're a Jets fan, do you want to beat the Dolphins? Right. Cause they, you know, a few teams sneak wins and suddenly the Jets are in the top.
I believe if enough things happen, the Jets can move as high as like 2 or 3. I think that's unlikely, but you want to get in the top 5 at the end of the day.
Right.
Last year, and we don't really talk about this, if the Jets don't beat the Patriots might not get Drake May unless they trade up for him. So a meaningless week 18 game, like Aaron Rodgers is going to try and win. It sounds like Tua is not going to play. It's a very winnable
game. Aaron Rodgers is going to try to throw a touchdown pass.
He's going to try and throw a touchdown specifically. So maybe not win more so much as throw number 500. But, I mean, these guys have stuff like these guys. Again, the whole conversation, it always gets twisted. Like, no, nobody expects players to tank. But also, if you're a fan base or you're covering a team and you're a team that needs a quarterback and you're in a kind of purgatory, losing helps. And so when you win, it does not help you in a time like this. So it's if they win the game on Sunday, I'd say, and I've seen a lot of this in like the Discord for Badlands and on Twitter, like people, I think Jets fans are going to be heavily rooting for the Patriots to have like the best game of their life on Sunday, because that would mean, you know, maybe Jerron Mayo can convince Robert Kraft that he's going to stay. And if he's staying, then they have a better shot at Mike Vrabel. So cheer for the Patriots on Sunday as much as it might
hurt. They're playing the Bills though.
That's true. So. Yeah.
I don't know. Although the Bills don't really have anything to play for.
Actually, I just saw the Bills just called Mike White up to the active roster. He might play. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, because the Bills are locked in as the 2 seed. So they'll rest. Yeah. It'll be interesting. All right. We'll be back next week to kind of put a bow on that final game and see where they do. We could talk about where they're picking. Because it'll all be known and all that heading into the offseason. And then as we go down the road, we keep teasing we're going to have Dane Brugler on. We will eventually to start. But it'll make more sense once we know where the Jets are picking, I think.
I feel like we got to get Connor Rogers on the show, too. We haven't had him on yet. And he'll be able to talk a lot about some draft prospects, too, in addition to the Dane and his perspective on the Jets and all these coaches and stuff. He's really good X's.
Yeah, those guys. That's a great call.
I'm curious to see Connor's thoughts. We'll have to get the better Connor onto the show, I would say.
Eventually we'll have the other one on too. But yeah, thank you everybody for tuning in all season long now as we start a new year. Great audience for this episode, proving that people really, I think, would love to see Mike Vrabel as the new head coach of the New York Jets. Great stuff, Zach. Happy New Year to everybody. And we will talk soon. Thanks for checking out the Fight Plan Podcast.